welcome everybody to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. Yeah, I threw y'all off a little bit on that intro that time,
everybody.
Huh?
Everybody.
Yeah, everybody. Welcome.
Get to it.
That's right. Maddie's eyes lit up when I did the intro just now. She was like, what? What the hell is that? Yeah, that's probably the first time I've done it like that in the entire time Maddie and I have been on the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn, here with Maddie Lee. Barry Trammell, working away in the Oklahoman studios on this lovely Thursday afternoon.
Hot. Man, it's hot.
It's been hotter. It's been hotter.
Well, we still aren't to the hottest point in the day yet, so.
That's true.
When Barry was in Canada, that might have been the most humid it's been here all year.
Last year, you mean?
No, like this summer.
I was in San Diego.
Same thing.
Same thing.
I was thinking of a place where the, no, hold on, because Barry's been to Canada.
Yeah, a lot of us have been to Canada, Eric.
Dave Morris, engineering in the back. Dave, have you been to Canada?
I've not.
Ha!
Do you have a passport?
I certainly do.
Dave has a passport.
So.
You're more qualified. You're more qualified to cover the NBA finals than Eric the Red is.
That's true. Does Chris Paul have a passport? Chris Paul
apparently
kinda,
does
have a passport.
Been to Toronto a time
That's
or
true.
Two.
That's true. The Thunder and Chris Paul. It's all kinds of fascinating. I think we've podcasted since the we've obviously podcasted since the Westbrook Chris Paul trade. Was first announced, but now it's official.
It's official.
Now it's the Thunder's going to have some issues moving Chris Paul. This was always going to be kind of a thing because it's late in the game in terms of free agency. Almost half of the league were free agents this year, this summer. So it limits the amount of teams that can, package guys to send the Thunder's way to get the Chris Paul deal done. And the Thunder seems to be okay with Chris Paul starting the season with them. There's reports maybe even playing the entire season. I have reasons to believe that that's just them running out of options right now.
All of that's just negotiating tactics.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
And it's kind of leveraging. It's sending a message to Miami that, hey, we'll keep them all year. And
right.
Then you get a bunch of other teams that can get involved in December. And then Miami's going to have to go up against 28 teams instead of just them and maybe the other teams that were involved, the Minnesotas and the Detroits of the world.
Right.
Because
to have it be able to put any pressure on them, you either have to have another team involved.
Yes.
Or another option. So if there's no other teams involved, you got to give them another option.
And
AKA, he's staying.
And they've roped in Paul's representatives into it by having Woj report. Hey, they're open to staying in Oklahoma City. He doesn't want to be in Oklahoma City this season.
No.
For crying out loud.
But he's probably fine with being in Oklahoma City for a few months and then having more options
in
December.
Yeah, that could be, L.A. or someplace.
Yeah, I think the Lakers would be a great spot for him just in terms of fit. The Thunder can take on some of those one-year deals that the Lakers have.
What could they get from the Lakers that would be of value? Getting another draft pick? Are they giving all the draft picks they can, the Lakers?
The Lakers are pretty dry in terms of draft picks.
What expiring contracts do they have? That could be
all of them.
Yeah, they've signed guys on one-year
deals. You'd have
to
take Danny Green and Cantankerous Caldwell Pope probably to make it work, and then whatever else.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just use it as a salary dump?
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But try to get something of value, which they don't have anything – if it's not a draft pick, it's Kyle Kuzma, and that's it.
But this is the thing.
And they don't want to give him away.
But the Lakers doing that deal, giving up Danny Green doesn't make the Lakers better. Because they're just lacking perimeter defenders at that point.
You mean for Chris Paul?
Yeah. And I know you got to make the money work, but that's what you bring
in. We're talking about the Lakers. They don't care about that kind of thing. They're trading bubblegum cards. That's what the Lakers do.
That's always the thing. We don't care about them. We just need to get this star in here. Chris Paul doesn't want to be here. The Thunder would obviously like to get the rebuild started, which doesn't involve Chris Paul. They can't really ignite the rebuild without having Chris Paul somewhere else. So it's going to be awkward. I still think they're going to get a deal done before the season starts. I think people tend to forget there's 2 months until preseason. And not too long ago, the Thunder traded for Carmelo Anthony the day before preseason camp opened, 2 years ago. So there's entirely time for this to get done. It's not going to be easy, but there's a lot of time.
That's a great point. Later than this date, and this is whatever day that, what are we doing? July 18th or whatever it is. Later than this, I think, each of the last two summers, they either traded for Carmelo Anthony.
Or traded him.
Or traded Carmelo Anthony.
They traded Carmelo on July 25th of 2018.
So, you know how difficult it is to trade Carmelo Anthony? Two teams have done it each of the last two summers, later than this. So, I think you can probably trade Chris Paul.
I think the deal is going to get done before the season starts. For some of the reasons we just mentioned, but also Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That's another reason too.
Well, I mean, but you're also looking at two different sides too. I mean, if Miami goes out, because it seems like Miami is the team at this point, and if they go out and get another point guard and they're like, nah, never mind, then it's going to be real hard to get this deal done.
Yeah, yeah, but they also might want to get off of Dragic's money for this season, which is going to be hard if you take on Chris Paul anyway, because if even if you give up Dragic, you're still going to be taking on Chris Paul's money and you're hard capped. So the Miami's got to send out a bunch of money in order to even make the Chris Paul deal work. So it's going to be difficult, and they're going to have to bring in some more teams, and I think it'll get done before the season starts. Another reason, I'm not so sure the Thunder wants to see – well, frankly, they might not care at this point. But Chris Paul and Billy Donovan, I was asking Barry about this at lunch, about Vinny Del Negro and what the hangups were about Vinny Del Negro when he was a coach. Was he a pushover? What was the issue when he was there with Chris Paul in Los Angeles? And I'm just thinking about Chris Paul and his personality in the huddle with Billy Donovan. You know, I've had people tell me that Billy Donovan wasn't respected by players when he was in when certain players were in Oklahoma City. So what's that dynamic going to be like with Chris Paul for however many months that they have to be together? I'd be curious to see what that's going to look like. I'd be very hesitant to do so if I were the Thunder. But frankly, the Thunder might have their minds made up about Billy Donovan's future anyway. They don't have an extension on him, so it's kind of like, you know, this is Billy's last ride, and we're just going to see how he does with the young group. And I don't think it would be to Billy's advantage to have a Chris Paul there on opening night.
Well, unless it helps him win. Unless it helps him win. This is, you know, I got thinking about this. This is a little bit of a flair for Billy Donovan. Donovan didn't win with a team that people thought he should have won with. Now he's got a team that people thinks he should lose with. If he could somehow win, they could go 44-38 or 43-39, stay in the playoff race till the end. Maybe that's the way that his NBA career gets extended.
If I'm Billy Donovan, I don't want my NBA career contingent on Chris Paul being on this team.
Well, that's it. Is there another path to them getting to 40 wins other than Chris Paul playing all year?
If Chris Paul's not on the team, I don't think Billy Donovan's career is going to come down to whether or not they win 40 games or not.
Well, I agree, but it's what's the point of keeping Billy Donovan at $6 million a year or whatever?
I don't know.
If he's, you know, if he's just coaching a 31-51 team.
But I think that they believe that it gives Billy Donovan a kind of a new lease on life, not having these stars to have to, you know, basically not coach, essentially.
And it's similar. Yeah, it's more similar to college if you have all these young guys who you have the chance to develop and all that. And he's proven that he's good at that.
And look, that's not to say that like they chose Billy Donovan over these guys. It's not like they said, oh, well, it's Billy Donovan or you, Paul George. That's clearly not what happened, y'all. Like, they would much rather have Paul George today than they would you know, just Billy Donovan and some young guys. But I think that this gives Billy Donovan an opportunity to kind of show what he can do and not have to manage egos as much. And I don't even think that egos were necessarily what, like, ripped this team. Well, ripped this team is harsh, too. Like, what led to this team being, you know, just separated or guys traded?
No, that was the chance to play with Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, chance to play with Kawhi Leonard. Russell Westbrook also seeing that Paul George is leaving and saying, okay, well, I'm going to leave. And then they sold high on Jeremy Grant, which is still a bummer. But it's like,
just rename this the Jeremy Grant Buddies.
And look, we're going to talk more about this down the line, but it kind of begs the question of, like, why did they hire Billy Donovan in the first place if the signs of him not being able to, you know, get these guys to get on the page were kind of there from early on?
Well,
or why they didn't, or why they didn't cut ties with Billy Donovan earlier if they saw that these signs were there early on?
You have asked a question that's an excellent question, and I think there's an answer that's fairly apparent.
Muddy?
I think Sam Presti underestimated the difficulty of getting Russell Westbrook in particular, but also Kevin Durant, to do exactly what you want. In other words, the tactical competency. Is that the word that is that
tactical
the term?
Competence.
Tactical competence. You know, there wasn't a ton of that when Scotty Brooks was coaching the Thunder. But we sort of know now, part of that was not because Scotty didn't know tactical competence. It's because it's hard to get those guys to buy in to tactics.
Yeah. And look, we've even seen it in Golden State. It's not like Steve Kerr had the easiest job.
That's right. It's exactly right.
Getting Kevin Durant to play ball.
What happened to the beautiful game the last 3 years? It sort of went bye-bye a good part of the time.
And it's kind of the gift and the curse. When you have a guy as good as Kevin Durant, it kind of breaks your system by default. It's like, okay, we have this system, but you have a guy who can get his shot anywhere he wants to, and it works. And we saw what the Warriors struggled with when they didn't have a Kevin Durant. And they went up against a team that could guard at all positions. They needed that Kevin Durant X factor. They needed that guy that can go get his shot over anybody. So I think that's kind of the difficulty that the Thunder had in terms of developing an offense when it came to it as well, because when you have guys as talented as Kevin Durant, it kind of throws tactical competence out the window sometimes. Like, I remember Kevin Durant's first year where, you know, looking back at it, that team sleepwalked through a lot of games, and I didn't realize it at the time because it was my first year on the beat. But you remember games where they'd sleepwalk through an entire game and they'd be playing tight with Minnesota in a game that they really didn't have any business being close in. And Kevin Durant would score the last 12 points and they would just say, all right, let's get out of here. And Kevin Durant would just hit a jumper in Andrew Wiggins' face from 22 feet against great defense. And there was just nothing they could do because Kevin Durant would just bail them out of games time and time again. And that team went 55-27 and they were sleepwalking. Like, that team should have won the title. And they were just... And that's a team that was sleepwalking. Kevin Durant was bailing them out of games, and they probably didn't respect Billy Donovan, and they won 55 games and had the Warriors down 3-1. Like, it's kind of grim when you think – it's like grim and awesome at the same time when you think about it. Like, but, no, it's – this is going to be an interesting year for Billy Donovan from that standpoint. I don't know how he and Chris Paul would get along over the course of a half season or a full season or whatever. But we have this track record of Chris Paul, you know, being a guy who's abrasive. He's abrasive with teammates. He can clash with coaches. How does Billy Donovan coach that when he has not proven to be able to, you know, mesh with these all-star personalities? And then if Chris Paul is not a part of the equation, does Billy Donovan pull a 06-07 where he kind of elevates a team that has a lot of spare parts and is younger but has some talent? It's going to be interesting to see either way.
It's also a different situation than him coming in to a pre-established team that is Westbrook's team.
Mm-hmm.
Billy's the one who's been here. He's the one who's established. Chris Paul is coming in and joining and, you know, making adjustments all around. Not saying that that's going to mean that all of a sudden they're going to be best friends and this is experiment is going to work amazing for however long it lasts. Just through training camp.
How good can – what's the upside for this team if Chris Paul stays?
As the roster is right now?
Yeah. If this is the team,
I actually
which is a possibility.
Okay, I ran and look, this is all about Chris Paul's health, and cooperation with Billy. Even if he's on the same page with Billy, 100%, he can still get hurt. He can still play 61 games, which has been his max over the past two seasons. Frankly, the Thunder should, if they plan on keeping him, they should manage his games the way that they've load managed. These guys have load managed throughout the entire season.
Yeah,
last year with Kawhi,
no back to backs.
Yeah, it's just not like you're not trying to win anyway. So why are you going to push Chris Paul for 80 games?
Yeah, like, 60 or so, having played 60 yeah. or so.
You want to do right by him.
Well, he's done 58 for the past two seasons in the regular. Yeah.
You want to do right by him if you're trying to trade him. And then you don't want
him
to be.
And that gives Shai Gilgeous-Alexander a chance to start in that point guard role.
Frankly, he needs to start anyway.
Yeah, but I think with Chris Paul here, you start the two of them together.
Yes.
And Chris Paul's going to have the ball in his hands more than Shai. So give him a night off on a back-to-back. Suddenly, Shai gets a bigger role.
I'm putting the ball in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's hands as much as he wants it to be. Now.
It's still going to be in his hands more without Chris Paul on the floor.
You could stagger them. You could stagger them too, to where you have Chris Paul running the show the way that they did in Houston when Harden was off, and then you have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yes, vice but my versa. Point still stands. Even if you do that on the nights off, on Chris Paul's nights off, he's still going to have a bigger. He's going to have the ball in his hands a little more.
Yeah.
No matter what you do.
We're not making concessions for Chris Paul in order to – I mean, my words are all messed up. We're not taking away from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to appease to Chris Paul. Chris Paul has frankly been given an opportunity here too to kind of do some image damage control and to recoup some of his image across the league because he's not leaving Houston on the best of terms. So he can come here – and he can make good with Thunder, and he can have a good relationship with Billy Donovan. He can be a mentor to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And then people can see that as, oh, well, Chris Paul's not this locker room killer that he's been perceived to be in a couple of different stops.
He can be a veteran leader.
Yes.
That's a best case scenario for them. Let's say he does play the whole season. Best case scenario. Oh, we haven't even gotten to Barry's question. But. Just in general terms, not in terms of wins. 1 year together, Chris Paul changes the perception of his leadership skills and locker room effect. And the Thunder is able to keep fans interested while still having a young point guard develop under a veteran who... is, you know, really good.
Yeah, I don't know the win total because the West is stacked, but I think you can chase an 8 seed if you keep Chris Paul relatively healthy.
Yeah, and I don't think you'd reach it. But I think there's something to be said for not tanking from a team culture standpoint. Trying to lose games is no way to build a winner. I know teams do it, but it's no way to do it. So
I don't like it with young players too.
Right, exactly. You want to instill in SGA a culture of losing? No, you don't want to do that. Now Steven Adams, he's been through so many. He's only 25 or 26, so he's still young, but he's been through so many big games. A bad season's not going to rock his foundation. But man, somebody like Gilgeous-Alexander or Terrence Ferguson, a disheartening season is not what you want to give those guys.
I'm going to run through Chris Paul team win totals since he entered the league. And you have to look at it from this standpoint too. Chris Paul is not the Chris Paul he was in 13-14. Okay, this guy's had a lot of miles on him. He's coming off one of the worst shooting years of his career in terms of field goal percentage. I think he shot like 41% last year. but he still shot it relatively well from three, around league average. I think he was like 35% from three. Shot free throws well. 38 wins in his rookie season.
Wait, what did you say his field goal percentage was last year?
It was 41%.
Yeah, 41.9. For some reason, I heard 31. I was like, eek.
38 wins as a rookie, 39. Then he jumps to 56 in his third year. 49, 37, 46. And then from then on, from the 11-12 season on, these are the totals. 40, but that was the lockout season. And you adjust that, and it's a 50-win team. They went 40-26. Then from 12-13 on, 56, 57, 56, 53, 51, 65, 53. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's basically 8 consecutive seasons of 50 wins or more. If you adjusted the lockout season, it would have been a 50-win season. That would have been 8 consecutive seasons of 50 wins or more with Chris Paul on your team. Look, this team ain't winning 50 games even if Chris Paul plays all of them, because the West is loaded. But what you can say is if you have Chris Paul healthy on your team, you have a competitive team.
Right. That's exactly right.
Like, you're not going to have a team that's a bunch of scrubs. Chris Paul's going to win you some games.
And that's my whole point about staying competitive. If you didn't have a future, if you didn't have 15 first-round draft picks in the next 7 years, maybe you need to lose 60 games a year and just hope for lottery luck. But you got all kinds of future assets without having to rely on lottery luck.
And the possibility of more to come.
Right.
Because of – I wouldn't count on them getting a ton back for Chris Paul. Now, Sam Presti's pulled magic before.
But you're going to trade Gallinari.
You're probably going to trade Gallinari at some point.
Dennis Schroeder seems a candidate to go at some point.
Reasonable contract guy who's still young.
And you got a point guard that's not him. So yeah,
and he can start somewhere else.
Right. So – You don't have to just, you know, if you're Phoenix or Orlando or Cleveland, your game plan is, maybe we'll get lucky and draft LeBron James. That seems like a bad plan if you've got a good organization with a good foundation and a winning culture. There's no reason to do that.
I just wonder if they're going to have to take a step back, not this coming season, but the one after that. Because that's when they've got a ton. They're still in teardown mode, right? So you're going to get rid of some of those veteran guys. And then how quickly, then you have to decide, do we build up through trades and trading these assets that we have? Or do you count on the next couple drafts, which, as far as I understand, pretty good draft classes, and try to build up young in those couple years and sacrifice some wins. And you don't have to do those 20-win seasons now. And part of that is the new lottery format, where you can still win 33 games.
The lottery's flattened
and
end
up in the top few picks. So I'm not convinced that they can go through a rebuild without dropping down to 33-35 win seasons, but also not convinced that they have to only win 20 ever.
30, yeah, but 33-35 is not bad when you look at the shape of the West, and you look at a team like Dallas last year. I think they won 33 games, and they were competitive. They were feisty. Like, they weren't a team. I mean, they weren't good, but they weren't. They also weren't the Phoenix Suns. It was clear. I mean, they took 2 out of 3 from the Thunder. They shot the ball well. They did so with a really good rookie player. They got internal development. And I think that the Thunder can have a little bit of both. They can rebuild through the draft, but they can also have guys like Terrence Ferguson make a leap. Mm-hmm. Or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you know, ascend to become the all-star that people think that he's going to be. Steven Adams can get better. He can have a healthy season where he's a better player. You know, guys like Darius Bazley, who we don't really know a lot about yet, you know, that's a guy who can step in and be a rotation player somewhere. So you can
we're ending your two ways.
Yeah. You know, your two-way players could be better. You know, Dante Grantham. You know, Dort, if they can get anything out of him. Can't shoot, but, you know, typical
plays defense.
Par for the course for the Thunder. So You know, you can have internal development. You can also get better through the draft, and you don't have to be this bottom-dwelling, decrepit team. You don't have
to. That's my point.
Yeah.
What you just said is my point. The West, listen, even if you want to lose, you don't have to try. The West is tough enough. Teams are going to take care of a lot of that for you.
Right. But also, you know, some teams are going to give back some games.
Well, heck, and if you're going too great in February, trade Gallinari and trade whoever. You can always.
As we've talked about, they've given themselves a lot of different ways to go with this. And they don't have to feel committed to having to go all the way to the cellar. But they also don't have to feel like they've got to go chase a title or anything like that, because that's just not realistic. So the Chris Paul decision is the next one that's going to be interesting in terms of which direction they go and how far they're willing to go into, you know, full-on rebuild mode, because they can't really start a full-on teardown until they get Chris Paul off the books.
Do you think the Westbrook for Paul trade was good for the Thunder?
Yeah. Yes. You stagnate.
In terms of this. Sounds like that's where Russ wanted to go.
Yeah.
I think it was good for, like, we always want to.
And could they have sent him somewhere else for more? Or do you think they got about as much as they could? Chris Paul and two draft picks.
I didn't expect them to get two first-round picks with that light of protection in any kind of Russell Westbrook deal anywhere. I think it was the best for all parties. Russell got to go where he wanted to go. Chris Paul got out of a toxic situation. The Thunder got draft compensation that they might not have otherwise gotten anywhere else, because Houston is in win-now mode always. And frankly, this is post – now, for people out there listening, this is post-Paul George trade. This is if you were looking at a team with Russell Westbrook and the collection of guys he has around him, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Gallinari, whatever. If you're just looking at it from a post-George standpoint, straight swap, Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook, I'm not sure how much – worse this team is.
That's a good point.
With Chris Paul as your point guard as opposed to Russell Westbrook.
You're right. Just the durability was the big difference.
That's the big thing.
Yeah.
That's the big difference. But you did slice a year. That slice in the year.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Is too. A big deal.
Mm-hmm. That's huge.
Off the end of that contract. So,
and that's appealing to trade partners too, frankly. If you're trying to trade Chris Paul, that additional year off the contract, it was a perfect situation for them to do business with Houston. The money matched up perfectly with Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook. Houston's a team that, with Daryl Morey, a guy who's very aggressive in making changes from year to year, and I just don't know if you would have been able to do that with any other team when it came to that deal.
One last point on Chris Paul. Let's say he does start the season in Oklahoma City. How's he going to be received? Will he be hailed as a returning hero, the original Oklahoma City superstar, or is he a lot of apprehension, because a lot of water under the bridge, some of it ill feelings about certain rivalries, you know. Clippers weren't well-loved.
The Rockets
certainly weren't well-loved.
A lot of complaining from Chris Paul.
He was never, you know, the way this city stood up and cheered for Scottie Brooks, for Serge Ibaka, for Enes Kanter, guys that they loved, and left not of their own volition. Chris Paul left Oklahoma City not of his own volition. He just went where he was told to go by the league. And yet, he was never warmly. They gave him a nice applause that first time New Orleans was back playing the Thunder in 08-09. But it wasn't any kind of big deal the way it was when Enes was back and Scotty was back and Serge was back.
I don't really see any reason to be have ill will towards Chris Paul.
Well, and I think it's different too, because how many years were in between? Was there a year between?
One dark season.
So I think that also has a little bit to do with it too, because it's not like, oh, it's his first time back. Like, and we just saw him a few months ago. It's like, oh yeah, the Hornets used to be here.
Yeah. And Kevin Durant was here. It's not like the Thunder was void of a superstar, but they weren't void of a superstar after those other guys left.
Who is there anybody the Thunder is okay? There are obviously some people that the Thunder fans are going to boo next year. But your boo,
Patrick Beverly.
Your boo numbers. Your boo numbers went down. Chris Paul's on your team. Russell Westbrook is on another team, so you're going to cheer him when he comes back. Reggie Jackson and Patrick Beverly. Who else? Durant's not playing next year.
They got to the point they weren't crazy about James Harden. Last several years.
They're not booing him, though. They're not booing him when he comes back. They cheer James Harden when he gets introduced. They don't boo him.
Not much. But if you're talking outright booing, Patrick Beverly, well, Draymond's high on the list.
Yeah, yeah.
Zaza, if he lands with a team, he'll get booed heavy. Yeah.
The Warriors get booed. Certainly Draymond. Durant's not going to play next year, so he doesn't have the opportunity to get booed. He's probably not even going to come on the trips to when Brooklyn comes here, the one time they'll come here, he's not going to come. But I don't think there's any reason to really boo Chris Paul. It's kind of like when you press reset. I don't know why you'd have to have animosity towards a guy who's, you know, going to spend a short time in your city. To me, that would kind of smack of just like not being tasteful.
I think on the other side too, I don't think he's going to be heralded as the next superstar who's coming to save the Thunder. I think Thunder fans realize,
yeah,
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is more likely to be the future of the franchise.
Probably so. Well, it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing how long Chris Paul is with Oklahoma City. At some point, we'll hit the dog days of August. People go on vacation, try to catch their breath. The talks might have to be suspended for a couple of weeks.
Well, they currently are not doing anything with it right now. But the Thunder, like we said, they have a tendency to get deeper into the summer and end up pulling off some kind of deal. So I wouldn't put it past them happening right just because it's not going down right now.
The one party that at least so far, we'll see how this, but in the very beginnings of this trade, did not come out good, the State Farm. They have to redo a bunch of commercials.
Or they could just keep running the same ones and we'll keep laughing at them.
It's true.
Oh, yeah?
I do love them.
Now, here's the deal. They basically, the mainstays of the State Farm are both the sidekicks, are both a Rocket and a Clipper, right? DeAndre Jordan.
And James Harden. Yeah.
Add a Thunder to it. Just every step he goes.
Well, but they also have to take out, oh gosh, what's the Rockets mascot's name?
Clutch.
Clutch. Clutch has one.
We're gonna incorporate. I just think State Farm is going to kind of stay in a holding pattern.
Well,
they're going to
say, let's just keep running the old commercials out. Maybe they'll run the ones that don't have Harden, like the one where they're in the garage.
The Clutch one's pretty funny. Oh, yeah, the Buck. You never play for the Bucks.
Yeah. No, but like obviously the ones with Harden in them are better because it's just more fun and hard.
That's not me.
Dude, it's your beard on the – yeah. Clutch now. But –
That one's fantastic.
They should roll back the Hoopers. They should just bring the Hoopers.
I love the Hoopers so much. Those are still my favorite, maybe my all-time favorite commercials. And I feel like they had such a short run.
They should probably just go ahead and, oh, man. Ugh. Yeah, they probably, I was going to say they could make some, like, tornado-related State Farm commercial in terms of the insurance, that might not go over well.
Hail. I mean, there are a lot of weather.
Does State Farm even cover? Do insurance companies cover tornado damage like that?
We got to call them.
Yeah.
We got to call State Farm and figure out what Oklahomans will need from them and if they provide it.
It's clear that you have two people that live in apartments here. Barry immediately had an answer. He's like, of course they do.
Wait, I have State Farm. I have renter's insurance.
Well, there you go.
Oh, I do not. I've had it before, but I don't have it currently. I just told everybody on the podcast, so people are going to go go to my apartment and steal all my stuff.
Why does a thief care if you have insurance or not?
That's a good point.
They don't care.
That's
true.
They get the stuff anyways.
That's on the other end.
Maybe they can stick it in my face like, ha ha, you don't have insurance.
Or maybe some like very kind-hearted thieves will be like, okay, so we can't hit up Eric's house because he won't get his stuff back.
Right, but we can go to Maddie's. Yeah, we can go to Maddie's and Stuart might try and bite us. But
he will.
Yeah.
He's going through a phase. It's very ferocious.
Guard your stuff. Stuart is your renter's insurance.
He is.
He's like, what, son? But yeah, we got way off track. Steven Adams needs to be in a State Farm commercial. We talked about this before we came on the podcast. This has to happen.
He's so good. He's been great in all the commercials that he's done so far.
If the Thunder has any incentive to keep Chris Paul, it's to get Steven Adams in a State Farm commercial. That's pretty much it. I mean, to me personally, that should be objective number one for the Thunder, keeping Chris Paul. Not wins or rebuilding or mentoring Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Just get Steven Adams in a State Farm commercial. Because State Farm clearly has great writers, and they could utilize Steven Adams in a myriad of ways that I think we could take the commercials to another level if we had Steven Adams on them. I'm just saying.
So excited.
Could be.
We need to hire another writer just to be our commercial on the commercial beat. The Thunder commercial beat.
Think we have the resources for that at this current time, Maddie?
Totally.
Probably just fall on us. How about we just make that a part of our daily responsibilities?
I guess.
Interns. We do have interns. Intern.
She's great. She has promised that she's coming on the podcast next week, so shouts out Hallie Hart. It's official. You have to be here.
Maybe we'll like do a quiz. She says she's going to like study before she comes on the podcast. I don't really know what she's going to study exactly, but I think we should like make a quiz for her. And
just ridiculous.
Just absurd questions.
Although that might give her horrible flashbacks, because as a woman who covers sports, every single time some random dude out in the world finds out that you're a sports writer, he's like, oh yeah. Well, so who was the closer in the Rangers' third game of the season in 1973?
Barry.
Rangers closer in 73. I'm not sure they did. I'm not sure they had closers in 73. The closer phenomenon started more into the 80s.
There you go. Trick question. You could be like, oh, uh-huh. That's a trick question, you dummy.
Gotcha.
You mansplaining dummy. Yeah. Hit him with that one. Get out of here with that nonsense, mansplainer.com. Well, I can't believe you face stuff. That's sad.
No, the worst that I've ever gotten was when I was covering soccer. I was covering soccer, and some guy at a bar found this out, and he was like, it's super loud, right? So I can't hear that much. And he's like, oh, so you know how this was, what, last year when the men did not qualify for the World Cup? And he's like,
disgraceful.
He's like, oh, so you know how the U.S. qualified for the World Cup? And I was like,
no.
What?
Because they didn't.
And he was like, and he said it again. It was loud. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's really a bummer that they didn't qualify. He was like, ha ha, they did qualify. Or that he's like, oh, they didn't qualify. I was like, that's literally what I just said. I was like, you're gonna quiz a soccer writer with the most well-known bit of soccer news. Good job.
Yeah, you probably could have quizzed somebody who didn't even write about soccer.
100%. Pull anyone in that bar.
Yeah, just disappointing. I mean, everybody was disappointed that they let America down and whatnot.
Yeah, even people who have never watched a soccer game before in their lives.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was another complete tangent.
I hope that guy is listening to the Thunder Buddies podcast. And I hope he learned something today about himself and about the Thunder. Barry?
If you trade Chris Paul, get something for him. That's all I have to say. That's my parting shot. Trading him as a salary dump doesn't do much for me.
That's... It's one thing to do it once with Russell when you're going like for like and then getting the two first-round picks to go with it. Golly. But that's why the Heat deal is so enticing, if you can get those young guys.
Winslow. Give me one. Just one. Just one.
Now they're after Bradley Beal.
Who, the Heat?
The Heat.
The Heatles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes more sense for the Wizards. I mean, now if the Thunder can somehow get in there.
Then I have to give up a lot to get Bradley Beal.
Again, we talked about the Beal stuff. I don't know how much that even makes sense.
What makes sense?
Getting Beal. He's not going to stay. No. I don't think you're going to be able to re-sign him.
For the Thunder or for
She's talking
anyone.
About the Heat.
Well, I was talking about the Bradley Beal deal that we talked about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It just doesn't make sense.
But it makes some sense for Miami.
Yeah, it makes sense for Miami because you got to get somebody to go with Jimmy. All right, let's wrap it up. We're getting deeper and deeper into this stuff. But any final thoughts? The silence speaks volumes.
I've said my piece. Get something for Chris Paul.
We're going to have to wait till December 15th. You okay with that, Barry?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
You have to talk to him.
By all means.
Yeah.
Get to do a nice, like, returning to OKC sort of.
Get to possibly see him ignore Billy Donovan in huddles. Get to see that. It's possible. I'm going to be watching that a lot. That's going to be interesting. How engaged Chris Paul is with the Oklahoma City experience.
It's a weird situation for him to be in.
It is weird. Anyway, thanks for joining us on the Thunder Buddies podcast. We will be back probably next week. We'll see. We have to come back so we can quiz Hallie. We'll just do a special podcast just to quiz Hallie.
And, she's going to hate us.
we can do things like, hey, Hallie, did you hear about the U.S. women not winning the World Cup? And she'll be like, well, they did win the World Cup.
Gotcha.
Dumb stuff.
Although
like
now
that.
I guess we'll be able to tell if she listens to the pod this week.
That's right. Because if she listens to the pod, she'll be prepared. And she won't be able to get got. But we're going to get her. One way or the other, we're going to get her.
Well, she's going to come in here and prank us.
It's possible. We're not smart. I'm not smart. Anyway, thanks for joining us on the Thunder Buddies podcast. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening, downloading, subscribing on Apple Podcasts. And we will see you soon.